Friends, foes, and dungeon trolls. Welcome back for a fresh episode of The Venture Maidens. Before we get hot and heavy in fantasy action, I'm here to answer your desperate pleas of ways you can support our show because we are just as desperate for your love and attention. If you haven't already, give us your good graces with an iTunes rating and review so we can continue to level up our ranks as well as the quality of the show we love putting on for you fine people. As always, we have to thank our incredibly supportive Patreon donors for getting us here. You are all rock stars, and we'd love for you to start tagging us on social when you get your Patreon packages. I want to see your fine faces. And of course, thanks to the gifted Emily Mayo for composing our theme song. Now, I want to talk to you about our sponsor today, whom we love and adore, D&D Beyond. Getting caught up on planning your next move in battle? D&D Beyond is there! Not sure how much damage your burning hands can deal? D&D Beyond is there! Tired of flipping between pages from one spell to the next? D&D Beyond is there! Wherever new or advanced players are looking for a streamlined way to level up their characters, create exciting and efficient scenes of combat, and keep clear track of their items and spoils of their adventures, D&D Beyond is there, and they're always updating their features so you can run your Dungeons & Dragons campaigns and keep track of characters and do so much more through their ever-expanding online toolkit. They are the official digital game companion for Dungeons & Dragons. Go digital. Go beyond! Finally, let's flash back to last time on Venture Maidens. Our heroes teleported to the remote fortress of North Point. Duke Ravain introduced them to his second-in-command, a badass Eladrin wizard named Sothris. After a brief encounter with the mercenary bard band known as the Checkered Follies, they set off in search of the drow mining operations. Saya, in full fairy flight, stumbled upon an underground entrance, and everyone started creeping in, and they saw a creepy ooze drow lady, and that's what happened. Let the adventure continue.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Our maidens descend into the earth, hoping to find whatever the drow have been seeking. What has been buried so deep underground? Why have the drow traveled all this way? Can our heroes stop an impending war? Find out in episode 66, A Buried Blade, part 1.
Welcome back to another episode of The Venture Maidens, a super duper special one because this is going to be a double feature episode. That means we will be playing for 3 hours. That means for poor Katie, it's like 1 a.m. by the time we're done. So if Farrah falls over, I totally understand. But I am super, super excited to be here and rejoined again by the wonderful Dan Dillon. Yeah, who was playing an awesome character, I think impressed us all with how much you had your shit together last time. but I guess let's get into it. We've got a lot to do for no reason. I don't know. It's fine. But hi, everybody. My name is Celeste Konowich, and I will be your dungeon master.
I'm Brittany. I'm playing Arnadella Thill, the Moon Elf Warlock, ready to Eldritch Blast.
Okay, keep going. I'm going to switch us around. Oh. Things got wild.
Hi, I'm Katie. I'm playing Farrah Valen, the Divine Soul Tiefling Sorceress.
Yo, I'm Nassim. I'm playing your human monk, Sayanor.
Very nice. And I'm Sage, and I will be your bewitching barbarian, Kara Brynhilda.
Yeah, so that's where we're going to dive in today. So at the very end of last episode, you all had found this mine entrance. Sawyer had been seen by the Duergar, and then the Duergar seemed to not care, and then go back into the mine, and everything was cool, I guess. And Sawyer came back to the group and was like, oh, maybe we should investigate this. So you did. You all decided to creep in there, Sathras and Sawyer in the lead, walking down this tunnel. And then everybody else was like a couple minutes behind them, like, slowly creeping through.
Not a couple of minutes. I was thinking more like, you know, like a 30-second count. So maybe just a couple rounds worth of sprinting away.
Yeah, so behind. Yeah, Kara counted to 10 because Kara couldn't count to 30. So 10 seconds
true,
behind.
That was right, yes.
Yes. And so the two of you had entered into this large cavern, and you had seen Saya exactly what you had witnessed before in that astral jaunt you had taken earlier with Valerius. It was just like, this mountain is basically being carved out at this point. And at the very, very center, there's this large pillar that they've been chipping away at, and you saw that there was some kind of like hole leading down into the earth here. And you had seen mining equipment and everything all around this cavern, but when you entered, there was no one. There was absolutely no one in sight until this woman had started to come up the walkways, sort of shambling and like walking like the body didn't quite feel right on her. And she had said, "You may join the rest of the slaves." And then the illusion had kind of dropped as her skin had melted away. And now this like yellow, waxy, almost like pillar of a being is in front of you with this lampid like eye that's staring at you. And I would like everybody to roll some initiative.
Woo!
Getting it hot. Getting it fresh.
Wow. A whopping 6.
Oh, yeah.
You're better than me. Yeah. I got a 4.
Whoa.
Oh, my goodness.
I got a 10.
Okay. Wow, you guys are doing terrible. Yep. what was that for Sawyer?
22.
Whoa.
Yeah, someone's on top of it.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
All right, and then Sathras. All right.
Dirty 20.
Okay, well, that's good. Y'all are in the front, so that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, gives us time to catch up.
Okay, yeah. And let me roll a couple more things. No worries. It's fine.
And we do.
Oh, wow.
Just cash.
That was really good. Oh, dear. Okay. All right, so Saye, as you see this creature in front of you, is really the only way you can describe it, begin to transform. It's staring there, and you see a couple tentacles are starting to like expand from the mass of this thing and like these sort of quasi-arms, and you have the first move here.
Okay, first I want to make a nature check.
Sure.
See if I know what the hell is happening. Ooh. I don't think I really have anything in my nature. Oh, wait. You're in my way. It's not showing my pluses. Oh, yeah. I need to refresh this page. All my numbers are hidden behind other boxes.
Oh, no. I've been betrayed. D&D Beyond.
I assume it's a 4, so I'll say it's a 23.
Oh, crap. Well, that's great.
There we go.
So, ooh, with the context of the drow and everything, I'm going to say you got a little bit of a briefing about how drow work, what's up with them. So the drow worship a goddess named Loth, who is the queen of spiders. Loth is a demon, and she has demon handmaidens that are called the Yakul. Try to say that 5 times fast. And so basically these creatures are like the personal servants and handmaidens and representatives for Loth on Earth. So they can really only be summoned either if they're sent directly by Loth or by like a high priestess has the ability to summon these things. So they're powerful, they're mean, and also if one is here, that's probably not a great sign. Like there's probably somebody more powerful who called it here to send after you.
Yeah.
So you do know it is a demon.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to assume that Sathra knows what this is, because he looks like a very worldly fellow. And I'm just going to go ahead and attack it. And I'm going to do it with my quarterstaff and also spend a key point to try and stun it.
Okay, yeah. Stunning strike. Let's
go. So to attack. Ooh, 24.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Nice.
Your, like, quarterstaff sinks into, like, this gooey kind of flesh and, like, almost seems to get stuck in it.
Ew.
Gross.
No me gusta.
With a 9 damage for the first hit.
Okay, and tell me, is your quarterstaff magic?
No.
Do your monk weapons count for your magical thing?
Just my fist.
Just your fist. Oh, okay.
Yep, so your swing doesn't seem to do as much damage as you think it would. Maybe it's because it's sticky, like, you don't know.
Mm-hmm. It had to make a constitution saving throw of 16 to avoid being stunned.
I rolled a natural.
Balls.
Dang! That's the kind of night this is going to be.
Bam, 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 bam!
Bam, bam, bam!
Oh my god! Then I'm going to take my extra attack.
No, okay. Katie.
And try to stun it one more time.
Okay, go for it.
That was a dirty 20 to hit.
Yes, that will hit. And it only got a 4 on this.
Oh, nice. Okay. So plus another 9 damage.
But with the quarterstaff again, right?
Yeah.
Okay, again, doesn't look very effective.
Cool. But now that it's stunned, I'm going to use my fisticuffs and spend one key point. Yeah, one more key point. So 3 in total so far. And just hit it with my fist.
Woo! Popping off!
Popping off.
Oh, hell
it's
yeah.
It's a 24 to hit.
Get it, girl.
Yeah. Dude, yeah.
Woo!
It's going to do it with 5 damage.
Okay, but that's with your fist, so that's magic.
Yeah. Last punch. Literally.
Not that it matters.
It's not going to hit, because that was 14.
Okay. Well, this thing is stunned, so get advantage.
All right.
Noise.
Yeah. So roll again.
Yep.
Oh, no. 10.
No, it's so sticky. It's so gross. You just can't, like, ew. You like, half-heartedly punch at it, and it just doesn't seem to do anything. Okay, but this thing is now stunned until the end of its turn, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Boo!
Yeah, until the end of my next
turn. Till the end of Soya's next turn, right?
I don't like that at all.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Rude.
Wow.
Okay. Well, it is at this point, as you're, like, laying into this thing, like, smacking it with your stick, you begin to hear a chittering sounds.
I know those sounds that you make. Yeah. Those sounds.
And you see crawling up from the sides, so somewhere down below these things were waiting, these monstrous spiders, like, extend their legs over the side here, and two of these things crawl up from the sides and enter the field here. And they are going to go ahead and go right for Saye, who's attacking their friend.
Are they
their
friends?
Friend.
Are they?
Yeah.
They, like, go get coffee when they're not, like, enslaving populations of
yeah. Okay.
Creatures underground.
All right, hey, girl, let's go get a drink.
Hey, girl. Will an 18 hit you, Saye?
Yes.
So all of a sudden, you are covered in just a nasty, sticky substance as these thick strands of webbing just shoot out from one of these spiders and wrap on you here. So also, Sathras, this is going to catch you too, since this is a ranged area. I need you both to go ahead. Oh, wait, nope, you're just restrained. Cool. So the target is restrained by webbing. As an action, the restrained target can make a strength check bursting out of the webbing. So web just... spews out and, like, covers this whole area here. And the Yawkwal, even though it's stunned, doesn't seem to be affected at all. It can just, like, move over the surface of this webbing here. And the other spider will take this opportunity, now that you are trapped, restrained, it's going to go ahead and try and attack you, Saye, with advantage. Okay. So it still somehow manages to miss you as it's, like, climbing, like, over the webbing here. And it's just, like, looming up in your face, and you can see the poison just dripping off of these fangs as it's, like, right up in your business. Okay, and then we're moving to the Yawkwal, which is standing there, stunned. And then, Sathras, we are up to you. You are restrained by webbing.
Haha. So I am also covered in webbing. Well, I don't like that. So I am going to cast... Steelwind Strike. He draws his rapier from his side, and it has that almost copper tubing-like basket hilt. And when he draws it out, the blade actually chimes and rings. He flourishes it, whispers in Sylvan under his breath, darts forward and vanishes, and appears in, like, these freeze-frame snippets at each of the creatures, slashing it with his blade as he does. So they will each get... a spell attack?
Badass!
That's so cool.
Where's my attack
super
bonus?
Tight.
Okay. All right, so that's a 17 to hit the first spider.
Yes.
20 to hit, a dirty 20 to hit the second spider.
Oh, yes.
And with some advantage on the, so that's a 28 to hit the Yawkwal.
Yes.
Dang.
Yes.
All right, so each one of them is going to take 6d10 force damage.
What is this spell?
What? Wait, hold up.
Okay.
What?
Okay, Sathras isn't here to fuck around, so...
No.
Jesus.
17. So they're each going to take 22 force damage, and I will teleport to behind the spider that is chewing on Soye. And as a bonus action, when he appears from that anime dash that slashed all of these things, he is moving with this unnatural grace, and his steps are just sort of gliding around the webbing, and I'll begin Blade Song.
Wow.
I knew it! I knew it.
Rad!
That was an amazing turn.
Okay, so that's my turn.
Cool. Yeah, F. I guess. Okay, and then, wow, Arnadel, you are creeping up this tunnel. You begin to hear sounds of combat coming from further down the tunnel.
How far away am I?
So you are about 10 seconds away. So basically you could run onto the scene and see what's happening. So it'll take you a movement to get there.
Okay, but a movement, I can still get an action, right?
Yep. So basically, you hear the sound.
So I run, obviously. And then I go see what's going on.
And you see this mess in front of you.
Sick. And just to clarify, there are two spider creatures and that weird Yagi thing with webs of funk attached to Soye and Sothrys. Uh-huh.
Yeah, no longer on Sathras because he did a disappearing act. So he's free, but you see that Saye is like wrapped up in webs and restrained.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to very quickly, does a knowledge check doesn't count as an action, right?
Not in my world.
Cool. I'm going to do a quick nature check because I want to make sure I can get the, I'm being strategic here.
Yep.
Oh, I'm so concerned about Soye. So I'm going to reactionarily cast in a fit of emotion, thinking that maybe it's dark and Soye doesn't, like, where's your orb? I'm going to cast Wall of Light.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I'm like, it's dark. These things probably don't like the light. And I want to, so let's see. I'm going to do it in like a ceiling kind of a thing.
Like a dome kind of half bubble?
Yep.
Cool.
And I'm going to cast it right over the dead center of all the, like, kerfuffle. So
tomfoolery.
Yeah. 60 feet long, 10 feet high, 5 feet thick. That's really thick. And it's going to block the line of sight, but creatures and objects can pass through it. Maybe that... Oh, I forgot that it blocks the line of sight. I'm going to change that... This is all happening milliseconds here.
Okay.
Behind. So they can't retreat, and whatever's supposed to, I'm thinking maybe can't come see what's happening. So I want to block off behind them.
Okay.
So we're going to prevent, hopefully, a level of escape so we can fucking kill these things.
Heck yeah.
And it's also going to, they have to make a constitution saving throw. Otherwise, they get 4d8 radiant damage and is blinded for 1 minute.
Nice.
Otherwise, it's half as much damage and aren't blinded.
Okay, so Spider 1 is going to save with a 20. Spider 2 is also going to save with an 18.
Oh.
But give me that half damage. And then the Yawk will... All right. Yeah, that's a hot no with that.
We said it.
It's just absolutely not.
48? That's a lot. Or 2D. It'll be 2D, right? So that's 8 plus 4. Do I get to add my... A spell attack?
No.
It's an effect. Okay, so 8 and 4, 12 damage.
How do you want to incinerate these spiders with your light?
Yeah!
Oh, shit, that's tight.
Nice.
It just, you know, like in those movies where it's like an atomic flash and it just like that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they're like there in a moment and then this like corona of light surrounds them and you just see like their shadowed outline and then gone and all that's left is like a soot stain.
I do want to also say I would like to continue concentrating on this so that whatever is still alive would have to make another constitution save at their turn.
Yeah, okay. Cool. So the Yothquill, yeah, go ahead and roll damage for them. They failed, so they're going to take full.
Oh, wow. I love it. Wow, 4. All right, you guys help me
with
math.
Being stunned is butt.
So we have 7 plus 4 plus 3... Plus 1.
15.
15? Mm-hmm. Okay. 15, and that you said they're blinded?
Yeah. They're blinded, let's see, until I think the end of its turn. So it has to make another constitution. It's blinded until it saves or makes a successful constitution roll on their next, at the end of their next turn.
Okay, so this thing is paralyzed and blind. You see, like, the eye, like, in its, like, paralyzed body just, like, is moving around rapidly, like, trying to focus. Like, the pupil is dilating back and forth as it doesn't seem to be able to see anything. Oh my god. All right, and then Kara, you hear Arnadel just booked it down the way, and you hear sounds of combat.
Oh yeah, blinded by the light, a handmaiden of Lolf's tale.
Wrapped up like a web in the night.
So Kara is going to hoof it after Arnadel. See this horrible, weird, waxy, stunned ooze creature, and is like, and the dead, like spider, what's left of spider corpses.
You see some legs and piles of soot.
Exactly. So, like, you know, and she's just, fucking nope! is her catchphrase for the day.
Yeah!
And she's going to fly into a rage.
Ah!
And she is going to pulverize this thing. And it's still stunned, right?
It's also blinded, so you get advantage.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So that is a 29 to hit.
Uh-huh.
And that is going to be 13 damage.
Okay.
And then she is going to attack it again!
And luckily you have a magic sword.
I do, which also does cold damage. I don't know if that matters. But then, on her second attack, she crits as she, like, cleaves through this horrible, waxy, putrid body. And
so I told the Venture Maidens, I'm like, get ready, we're gonna fight. And I am, why did
we
I?
We got ready.
Oh, we ready.
You ready.
I'm ready as fuck.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Stop putting us in such highly emotionally volatile situations. You do know that our love for each other is going to give us the power.
The power to overcome anything.
The power of friendship unites us, and that's going to be 27 damage.
Power friendship. Hashtag power friendship.
Oh, that's really good.
Hashtag
gross.
Squad walk.
Yes!
We need a hug unit.
Yeah. Yeah, you take a big ol' slice out of this thing, and, like, as you do, like, you hear that slothing sound, like, as a bunch of this, like, wet, viscous, almost mucus-like substance slides off onto the ground.
Nice.
Though, despite being, like, cut in half, this thing is still, like, seems fine. It doesn't seem to have any interior organs of any kind. Because it's awesome.
That is her turn.
All right, and then Farrah, we are at you. Same deal, you can run in there and see all of this happening.
Yeah, so Farrah's going to run in and be like, oh shit, that's ugly, and I'm going to cast Guiding Bolt on it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's...
Because we need more advantage on this.
Yes, 26.
Truly.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be 15 points of radiant damage.
Uh-huh. Ooh, radiant. Let me see. Yeah, okay.
And then, I mean, like, seeing all this shit going on, like, I'm just gonna kind of stay where I am, to be honest with you.
Respect. And then, Saye, we are up to you. The creature begins to move again, but, like, clearly can't see. So
it burns.
If it even had eyes to begin with, who
it
really
has
knows?
One that's floating around.
Oh, that's right.
Its body.
Big ol' red eye.
Yep.
Oh, do you remember that X-Files fucking episode? Ugh.
Which one? What?
Oh, that demon dude that, like, stalks this woman and he can remove his eye and it's like this red floating eye, like, while she's showering.
Oh, yeah!
That's terrible.
Gross.
It's messed up.
I hate that.
Later seasons, kind of X-Files. Anyway, yeah. I've always been scarred. But anyway.
I've always been scarred and here we are.
Hello, trauma.
Oh, yes. Saye, what's the play?
I'm just gonna keep punching. We go.
Okay. With your handies?
With my fisties.
Your fingies?
That's not gonna hit.
Did it right in that eyeball?
I'm gonna take an extra attack. Ooh, this is bad. That didn't hit either. Let's spend a key point for some flurry of blows. That didn't hit either.
I just rolled a 2, a 4, a 6.
So you have advantage against it because it's blinded.
Oh.
So go ahead and keep on.
Well, that last one I did, I rolled a natural 20.
Okay.
Ah, there you go.
Woo! But that was after 2, 3 rolls?
two. The first two you rolled bad on, but you can re-roll those because you have advantage, because it's blind.
All right, then we'll say that that was the advantage.
Like a Christmas tree.
And lit up!
so much advantage.
So this is why CR doesn't matter for the Venture Maidens, for anybody watching out there. This encounter was, like, challenging, according to D&D Beyond.
I want to fight a Tarrasque, Celeste.
Fools. I am expert at running Tarrasques at this point, since I ran James's invasion from the planet of the Tarrasques. Yeah.
Six damage. Then I'm doing an extra attack.
Yes.
That was 18?
To hit, yes.
Ooh, yay. With 5 damage.
Yeah, it's slime. It doesn't... Its AC is terrible. It's garbage.
Is this stinky?
Garbage.
It is not actually sticky. It just looks like sticky.
Oh, okay. Then Flurry of Blows. That was...
Yeah, it's more waxy.
5. So reroll, that was an 8. And then my last punch, that was a 3 with an advantage. And then that was 24.
That should hit.
Total. Yes. Yes.
With 5 more damage.
Ooh, this thing is not looking good, boys and girls. This is just not good. Okay, yep. So you're just raining punches into this thing. Spiders are dead.
Trying to pull out chunks of its ooze with me.
You absolutely are, and it's like, oh man, did you ever play with the slimes you would make?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like as a kid, it's very much that texture that like moves and shifts and squishes in your hands, but it's like
it's an
dry,
oob-like demon.
You know, it's weird, super weird. Yeah, so you're ripping out chunks of this thing, and then the Yawkwil is gonna, so it gets the blinded at the end of its turn, it gets to make a saving throw. Who blinded it? Brittany.
Brittany with the wall.
So, is it at the end of the round?
Yes, at the end of its turn. Sorry, I was social networking.
How dare! So it is gonna go ahead and try to hit Saye, because that's like you're right there. So it's waving its arms wildly with disadvantage, trying to get
does
you.
Does the light wall do more damage every turn?
Yeah, it does.
Give me that. Let me know.
No, it only does damage. Like, it makes its turn, and then it has to make another constitution save. So if it... I mean, it's going to get damaged regardless, but we're going to determine if it's half or full and stays blinded.
Awesome. Okay, well, to hit Saye, it's going to go ahead and it gets... Oh my god, is it actually going to do it? slam. Okay. Oh yeah, so a 19 is definitely going to hit you.
It has advantage to hit her because she's still restrained, right?
Yes.
So
and we should remember
neutral.
That she has disadvantage on her attacks, yeah.
Oh, God.
So you're both neutral.
Yeah, you're both
There's
you're
a
both
lot
even.
Going on in this fight.
There's a lot happening right now.
So that is going to be 7 bludgeoning damage.
Oh.
And as it manages to hit you, one of these tentacles like wraps around you and like you feel your skin start to sizzle as it sits there. So I'm going to need you to go ahead and take 8 poison damage in addition to the bludgeoning.
Even though I can't be poisoned?
You can't be poisoned as the condition, but you can take poison damage.
Okay.
We're all nodding gravely. We're like,
yeah. And it's gonna try and hit you again as a straight roll because it's blind, but you're restrained. But it's fine. This is fine. So a 25 to hit. So it's gonna hit you again. Ooh. Slams into you one more time. That is gonna be 8 bludgeoning damage.
Love that for then, me.
Yep. And then 12 more poison damage.
Ooh.
So it finally, like, bah, and, like, spews a bunch of this, like, toxic sludge all over you.
Gross.
Spew. Name of my metal band. Okay, and then that is its turn, and Sathos, we are at...
No.
Oh, yes, the save.
Saving throws.
Okay. Oh, it did very well. It got a 23 on its constitution saving throw.
Yes, it's still gonna take damage, but, and then it's no longer blinded. So there's going to be 4 damage.
It like sort of makes a gurgling sound as this happens, but you see Saye, its red eye finally like focuses on you. Okay, and then Sathras, we are at you.
Okay, so Sethrus, after darting about and the spider gets disintegrated in front of him, he'll just sort of continue his momentum from where he appeared and was darting past the spider and just pivot on the ball of his foot, and his robe will sort of flare out and scatter a bunch of the ash that's floating in the air, and he will move with this. There's a faint blur around his body. He's moving quickly and just unnaturally gracefully, and he will make two strikes against the Yokrol.
You can try!
I will try my best. I will roll that not off the table. There we go. That's a 19 and a 25.
Yes, both. Yes.
Two hits, yay! So his blade just sort of sings and chimes as he dances past the creature, and after he moves past it, these two long slashes just sort of open up in its blubbery skin. 10, 15, 21 points of slashing damage total.
Spew! How Sethrus like magical. To kill this Yakuul?
Nice!
Yep.
So he'll just sort of, it's almost like he does this spinning dance step past it, and you hear this accompanying metallic chime, and he just sort of flicks his blade and then sheathes it, and the thing quivers and falls apart into three pieces.
As it does so, yeah, its form just completely loses shape, like, as the pieces collapse and then onto the floor, and it, like, spreads out in this pile of sludge, and then you see it all, it begins to, like, sizzle and turn black, and then sort of, like, burns away of its own volition, leaving, again, just that sooty smudge next to the two spiders. And it is silence in the cavern.
Sethrus will kind of turn and look at Sawyer in particular and say, "Are you all right?"
It did its thing, but I'll be okay. Well done.
That was certainly effective. He'll look up at the the wall.
I'm gonna let it like sparkle out. I'll be like,
"Phew." What color was it?
White as fuck.
Yeah.
I just think of radiant as like blinding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember Freakazoid? There was maybe it was Darkwing Duck. I don't remember. One of those old ass. They had a villain that could use light. And anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is like, it is dark. It is completely dark in this cavern now. So like your retinas are like sort of like burning from that sudden light.
Green rectangle floating in front of your
like,
eyes.
Yeah, like, wow, okay. So you are standing basically right now at the top of this very, very large cavern that continues down for a few stories below you. So if you kind of poke your head over the edge of this ledge here, you can see, maybe about 80 feet down is like this bottom floor area. And this pillar in the center of the room extends all the way to the ceiling to the bottom. And then you are at the top of this like ramp that has basically been carved to curl all the way down to the bottom here. There is absolutely no one in sight. No movement, no sound, silent like the grave.
I want to do a quick detect magic.
Yeah, so you are looking around. Nothing in the cavern beams as magical to you. There's a very, very vague trace of magic to the central pillar, but when you look at it, it's like it's not like dusty. The pillar's enchanted. There's something,
maybe it's like extra old or from I just kind of like
innate magical energy
maybe
to
the
it.
Rock has a little bit of a magical property to it, something.
Oh, and I turn around to everybody and I'm like, as I'm looking at it and I'm kind of thinking, I'm like, oh hey, real quick, forgot to tell you about this, and I pulled a scrap of fabric from last time when we were out. I'm like, this was like out on the branch. I think these guys were, I don't know if this is relevant right now, but.
So I'll take a look, Sethrus will head over and kind of take the scrap of fabric and take a look at it. Does it look familiar at all?
Yeah, so this is the scrap of fabric that was that very, very silky, almost looks like spider silk, black, very fine fabric. Probably belonged to a drow, and probably a noble drow at that too. It's just a very nice.
Oh shit! Okay. I don't know that though. I just look at you and I'd be like, man.
Yeah. So he'll take a look at it, turn it over, and his eyes will narrow a little, and he'll hand the scrap back to you, and he'll say, "That is drow spider silk weave cloth of extremely high quality. Someone of power or station was here.
I look at it closely and I'm like, interesting. And I'm going to put it back in my pocket.
Yeah.
Well, and he'll kind of look down the ramp. It seems that is our path forward, shall we?
So wait, we're going to be dealing with some high-level drow.
Yep, and I'm pretty sure they know
seems
that.
Likely.
Oh my god. I look over at Kara, and I'm like...
Yeah, and kind of
nod a little bit.
Yeah, and Kara, you would know, too, the significance of having a Yothquil here. That's not a small thing.
Yeah.
Kara, isn't the lady who is, you know, after you and your whole family a high priest?
Yeah. I believe she was a matron mother, which is the highest position you could have as a mortal drow person.
So this may not be the only waxy thing we see.
Among others.
Kara definitely, like, pokes the Yakul's corpse with her sword and then spits on it. And she's like, not to wax poetic or anything, but we should. Oh, Celeste's soul, just a little bit just left her body and it just gave me so much power.
Did we all just have like a Scooby-Doo moment where we're like, Kara, Kara.
But we should get a move on. And she starts just like marching forward with very serious purpose.
Yeah.
You have made powerful enemies. And he'll just sort of shake his head and follow after Kara.
Adventurers, we interrupt this episode of Venture Maidens to bring you your regularly scheduled mid-roll. First off, I'd like to ask you all to lend us a helping hand. You can support us on our Patreon page so that we can keep bringing you this sweet content and get our butts to more events. If you don't have any extra bucks, fear not. You can still support us by leaving us a review on whatever platform you listen to us on. Any way you want to help us out, it means the world to us. Not enough maidens to satiate you? No problem. You can hear more of our marvelous DM every other Sunday night on her show Mistress of Modules over on the Nerd Immersion channel. Go check it out. You may even see some familiar faces from the Venture Maidens. And now for our sponsor, 1985 Games. They recently released their Kickstarter and smashed through their stretch goals for their new book, Dungeoncraft. Dungeoncraft is a book full of cutout pieces to build engaging encounters for your TTRPGs. Their book contains over 1,000 double-sided terrain pieces that fit your standard 1x1 gridded maps. They have everything you need for city maps, dungeons, wilderness, and because their Kickstarter did so well, they were also able to create more than they had originally anticipated. There are now tons of spell effects, ruins terrain, burning buildings, cemetery terrain, and even a super tall wizard's tower. It is truly a game-changing product and can save you from ever having to do last-minute doodles on your maps, diluting the awesome encounters that you've created for your players. The Kickstarter is over, but you can still pre-order your copy now at www.1985games.com. Now pass the popcorn and let's get back to the show.
Sathras, total side note, Sathras reminds me of the Onion Knight.
Yeah. Oh, like Sir Davos.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I think it's also your voice, too. I think you sound a little bit like him.
I can swing with that.
He's pretty rad. Yeah. All right. So Kara begins taking off down this balcony towards the bottom. You just, You just booking it?
Yeah.
Yep.
They probably know we're here already if this wax beast grossness was here.
Yeah, someone knows we're here for sure.
Right. What's the point?
Anyone in the cavern saw the glow of the wall.
That's true, that was bright as fuck.
There definitely doesn't seem like torches or lanterns throughout this place, right? It's okay, my drift globe is out.
Well,
then.
There are braziers. They are not lit. So maybe somebody extinguished all of them. You don't know. So as you all are continuing like down this passageway, and you are going further down into the cavern, it grows very, very cold as you get down here. You are like in the heart of this mountain that has been carved out essentially and just descending deeper and deeper into the earth. And that silence just hangs on all of you. Every step you take echoes like madly through this space. And as you get about halfway down one of these big loops, again, passing by abandoned mining carts and tools, why don't you all go ahead and make me perception checks?
18.
Oh, not bad. 17.
23.
I rolled a 9.
25 for Seth.
Oh, nice. Oh.
What can she do?
So... as you all get about halfway down, most of you are like, you know, eyes out, like every little sound in here, you know, just like catches your attention. Arnold, maybe you're in your head thinking about like what could be happening. And you all begin to see that as you turn around on the far side of this pillar, it's not a complete pillar now. You see that there's this gaping hole at the very base of where this pillar was, and it looks like they've been tunneling inside the pillar. And downwards. So you see that there's this large, almost cave mouth sitting right at the base of this pillar, descending sort of diagonally into the earth.
Ah, okay. I see.
So, like, tunneling through the pillar.
Yeah, so it's, like, at the very base of the pillar. It's like they've been mining down, and then once they're at the base, they started mining, like, down and into this pillar.
Hmm. Oh, so now the pillar is doubling up as a spiral staircase.
So the pillar is in the very, very center of the room, and you've been, like, walking down this
spiraling around
here.
It.
Oh, I see. Okay, cool.
So it's like if there was a tower, and then you started digging under the tower here. Yeah. Thank you to Truly for sponsoring that diagram.
We're truly grateful.
We are truly grateful. Please sponsor us. I love your alcohol sparkling water. Yeah, so you see that mouth that's going down into the earth. And again, it is completely unlit and you are still a couple stories above this base point. But as you look at the ground and just like all of the rubble down there, it seems like whatever that is clearly like what they were looking for in digging out this cavern.
Does anyone else get the feeling that maybe we're too late?
This is like all the books that I've ever read where at the end you end up facing just the worst thing ever because you come in right at that exact moment.
Well,
that would be nice.
What, Kara, I feel like you would have the most insight on this. Like, what do you think they were digging for? Does it look like they're digging for a particular type of stone or precious metal or rock, or are they trying to dig to a location?
Could I do my dwarven stone cutting on the pillar?
Sure.
12.
Okay. So you're looking around. They're clearly not mining for ore. Like, you know, you don't see those veins and those telltale tunnels that would be branching out like through the rest of this cavern. All of it is focused on the central cavern. It looks like they've been carving downward. So it's sort of like a bowl, like almost like a funnel shape. So they started out big at the top and have worked their way down to this point.
So like more excavation.
That's sort of the vibe you're getting. And Kara, you didn't really notice it at first, but now that you're a little bit closer to this pillar, you think the pillar is made of different stone than the rest of the cavern, which is sort of odd. So it's just like the central pillar of rock was like dumped here.
Yeah. Kara like points to the pillar and she's like, it's kind of dark, but if you look really close and if you touch it, you can kind of see that this, of whatever this pillar is, it's different from this. And she goes over and she, like, touches the wall of the cavern. Since it doesn't look like they were trying to mine ore, maybe they're trying to dig some kind of artifact out
Or, you know, maybe there's something in this, you know, down there that they're looking for.
Huh, I should have mentioned earlier, this does have a dusty magic residue.
Yeah, so I mean, there's probably, I mean, if the rock is looking kind of magic-y, I'm guessing there's something kind of magic hidden in the rock. I don't know how magic works.
Kara, does your tribe, or, I mean, your entire people have any stories or lore about, like, something that might fit this description?
We don't care about drow culture.
Well, I mean,
they don't have culture as far as we're concerned.
Of course, but like something that maybe is prized in your culture that they might want.
Why don't you go ahead and give me a history check, Kara?
Oh, not bad. Let's see here. History 16.
Okay, so you're kind of like, you know, just this is bringing up surface thoughts, ideas for you. Nothing specific comes to mind, but there are, of course, there are stories of, like, because the dwarves were, you know, are people who live primarily in mountains and underground, and you know that in the dark places of the earth, many things can be hidden. I mean, sleeping demons, sleeping devils, things can be trapped or sealed away in the bowels of the earth. These things aren't unfamiliar to you, so there's a lot of things that can be hidden in the dark places.
I don't know, anything from, like, a dragon to a bullet. She just shrugs.
Arnadel's completely wrapped around the puzzle of this. She's like, logic brain is starting to get a kick into gear to be like, wait, I need to figure this shit out. Because clearly they're after something. And then it occurred to her then, like, it might not be an object, but a thing. Well, that was... It might not be a noun, you know, but it's like a live thing versus like an animate object or magic.
You said that there is residual magic.
Yeah.
Is it on the entirety of the pillar or simply where they were digging?
On the whole pillar.
Whole pillar, maybe. Like, I would imagine, like, sand, and I'm seeing, like, a particular type of, like, lava rock amongst the sand that is made of making the pillar, right?
Yeah, so it's like if you're looking at like granite, how you can see like the flecks of like, you know, sparkle or minerals in it. That's what the whole thing looks like. Just this pillar, though, not anything in the rest of the cavern.
Like it's not charged. It's just inherently got that dusted amongst it.
Can you tell what sort of magic it is? What school it might belong to?
Of course.
It would be definitely enchantment. So you're getting a little blue. In there, we've got a little gold in there, which in my kind of world is like artifact grade.
Oh, shit.
And a little bit of black.
Oh. So I say that I relay all of this, and I think both of us are, if I had a beard, I would be stroking it as well. We're, like, puzzled and, like...
Sathras doesn't
I'm
have
I'm kind
a beard,
of wondering if this thing was, I wonder if it was, like, carved. Is it carved? Is it inlaid with a bunch of carvings, or is it just a pillar? Like a structural...
The pillar is perfectly cylindrical. So it's not like a natural pillar. I mean, unless they might have smoothed it to be cylindrical. It's just, it certainly isn't something that you would just like find in nature, this natural like...
Okay, so it's maybe not constructed, but definitely like honed. Attention was given to it.
No, but like it doesn't look like a natural formation, nope. Though, is what you're saying.
Okay, cool.
Right.
So this is linked somehow.
But it looks like something has been removed from the base of it.
So somebody is digging their way into it, like...
Oh, they're digging into it now. Like, that's a tunnel, or just sort of a depression and goes nowhere?
Are you all continuing?
Yeah, Fair...
Down? Yes!
Yeah.
Farrah's been, like, looking inside while they're all talking about this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, as you get down and lean down, you do see that this cavern continues quite deep into the earth. It's like, it becomes very thin, so like a mining shaft has been carved out, and you see rough steps have been formed and packed down, and it looks like many, many feet have been down this direction. And you see that this tunnel, which is completely dark, spirals down into the earth, so you cannot see what is at the bottom. But it keeps going.
Well,
and you see that also wooden beams have been constructed here too to kind of keep the support in place. So, like, really think, one of those true mining shafts.
Well, if there is something down there, let's go before they find it. after all of you guys, this body was not made to go first.
Oh yeah, no. Kara's like do 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 do.
Yeah. So maybe yeah, like you could all fit maybe like three to a shoulder, heading down here. So we're descending into the earth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Since it's getting darker, I don't want to give away our position with my globe, so I'll be behind Kara or whoever the first three folks are. And I'm getting extremely nervous being so far underground.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because you are rapidly going deeper and deeper into the earth here.
Yeah. Having not seen the spider's fair, it's just like, I hope there's not any bugs.
being super sensitive to Saya's lack of, like, dark vision, I'm going to, like, grab Saya's hand and just, like, squeeze it. Be like, I got you.
Be my eyes.
So when Farrah says that, Sathras will chuckle softly and say, have you fought many drow before?
No, not a one. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Wonderful. Perfect. Okay. This will go just fine. And he'll follow after Kara.
I feel confident now.
So as you begin to make it, and you make it like one full loop down the staircase, two full loops down the staircase, you are just descending now. The stairs are becoming tighter and tighter as you're just going down in this column here. And then a smell hits your nose, like on top of the smell of just like earth and stone, the smell of rot just assaults your nostrils. The smell of, and Sothos, you recognize it like dead, decaying bodies. Immediately, it's like after a battlefield, just like the blood and just.
Well, he'll kind of sigh and draw his blade and keep moving forward.
Yeah, so you're like choking on that in the dark, and then finally, like three.
Taste it.
Four, five more loops down this staircase, and the cold is beginning to, like, hit your bones, like, as you are descending deeper and deeper, and just the silence of being truly underground is just maddening. And then suddenly the stairs open up, and you're in a larger cavern now that, as you look around it, it's sort of, it's half dug out, half stone structure. So the best way you can imagine it, like maybe this was a stone chamber at one point, but parts of the ceiling have collapsed and been reclaimed. So you see stone that's shattered all over the grounds here. And there is this one stone wall that has been dug away from the earth here. And you see that there are these two red doors that stand very, very tall, about 10 feet each on either side. And they seem to be slightly ajar. But the thing you notice most about this room is just the piles and piles of bodies that fill it. You see the remains of Duergar have been like stacked up and just like thrown in these piles, like against the edges to clear space for this door. And as you look at the door, yeah, there's got to be at least 40, maybe 50 bodies around this place here. And the door is carved, like every inch of it is carved in symbols. Just all sorts of symbols of every kind. So that's what you can tell from the far side of the room here.
Well, of course, we're going to want to figure out if that's a recognizable language.
Yeah. You want to step into the room?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cautiously.
Okay. Kara goes first.
It smells awful in here. And as you're just looking at the bodies, you can tell they're in various stages of decay. So some have probably been here maybe well up to a week. Some are relatively fresh. And as you approach these doors, you begin to recognize a bunch of these symbols, and some you've never seen at all. These are symbols in almost every language. I mean, you can see Elvish, you can see Sylvan, all the languages Arnadel speaks, you can see symbols carved into these doors. And not just symbols, like, so there are some letters, there's some words, there's iconography. You see a bunch of religious iconography.
Oh, that's really interesting. That's actually fucking fascinating. Make a mental note, but I really want to make sure that I look at everybody and I kind of want to be like, I want to see if the dead bodies are, I want to see what the cause of death is. Is it because of a fight? Is it because they fell or starved?
Go ahead and make me a medicine check.
Medicine?
Mm-hmm.
Guidance.
Oh, that wisdom.
That is an 11.
Plus 2.
Okay, you know, medical stuff isn't, CSI Arnadel isn't your speciality. But as you're looking at these corpses. Some seem to have almost like nothing wrong with them. It looks like they just dropped dead. Others have like the eyes have been gouged out, or some like looks like they've been burned by acid, or like
some magic.
You would get, there's a lot of different.
You know what's really uncomfortable about this? I turn to everybody and I'm like, not if you guys have radiant spells, right?
Yeah.
Is anybody really uncomfortable with this like little potentially army that is like lying around here?
Oh yeah, yeah. But I got fireballs for that.
This looks ritualistic to me.
Arnadel's getting really fucking uncomfortable. She's like not.
Do they look like they were ritual killings, or does it look chaotic and? Yeah.
It doesn't, because none of them were killed in the same way. I mean, the door, like it's the door, like screams ritual or arcana to sure, you. Yeah. I mean, so Sathras, you're also like, as a wizard, you're looking at, you're seeing a ton of like sigils of warding. Sigils from different gods. So Farah, I mean, you're recognizing, you're like, yeah, that's the mother, that's the father, like there's, you know, the fates are on here, like every, like,
is there anything that like is common between all these things? Like, I mean, I know that it's just like all over the place, but
make me some kind of check to put this together.
So it seems like there's every different possible mystical tradition we can think of coming together to seal this door.
That is what it looks like.
Boy.
And Farah, what did you get?
23 for Arcana.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, so the thing all of these symbols, all of these iconographies, all the wording has in common, they are sealing spells, binding. Like,
this is a binding.
This is meant to bind whatever was on the other side of the doors.
Yikes.
Is the door closed?
The door is ajar.
Who let the dogs out? Of course it is. Jesus.
So we're going in there, right?
Guess so.
As we pass through this charnel house cavern, is there any sign of any of my missing soldiers, or is it all pretty much Duergar?
Go ahead and roll me a percentage die.
I'm not going to make a thorough check or anything, just sort of as I pass through. Percentile is a 27.
No, yeah, you're looking around. It looks like it's mostly Duergar. You see a couple drow are piled in there.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Well, I mean, Paylor of life.
Paylor blessed.
I'm going to slowly inch my way towards the door just to see if I could hear anything through that little ajar opening or sense anything. With my special spidey mask senses.
I see. Perception check, please.
Oh, are you kidding me? I rolled a one.
You are in the dark.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's dark.
You hear your heart racing as this is happening. Like, this is just, you all have a very bad feeling about this. And it's not just like the situation. It's like the air is just, there's something wrong. There's a wrongness to this space.
Yeah, only way to go is forward, unfortunately.
This doesn't feel right. I got a bad feeling about this.
Arnadel's walking and it occurs to her, I'm like, Saya, hey.
Yeah?
How do you feel about being like a see-in-the-dark, fighty animal?
What are you thinking?
I mean, what are you thinking? You want to be a fucking tiger? You want to be like, what sees in the dark pretty well? What has dark vision and claws? But you get to choose. Arnadel's like, you just tell me and I make it happen.
I mean, can always just cast some light, or I can set some shit on fire once we're in there and fighting.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm pretty sure they know that we're here. So I'm not that worried.
Okay. Well, I thought it was worth a shot. I was trying to be creative. Here, you do your thing. You do your boo-boo. All
right. We'll hold off. I'll keep it in mind.
Who's stepping through the doors first?
Do I all just kind of silently turn and look at Kara?
Yeah.
No, if we're all going to look at Kara, Kara's not going in there first. I'll go first.
Same.
Sathras will move toward the door as well.
We'll be the three in the front.
Yeah. Once again, this whole time that everyone's talking, Farah like has been like positioning herself, trying to look through the little crack.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead and give me a perception check, Farah.
Oh, natural 20.
Wow. Woo. Okay. Yeah, so you see that right beyond this chamber, a high vaulted room is in front of you. And this room on the other side of the doors is completely paved in stone. There's no sign of cave-in or anything. It looks like a perfectly preserved room of some kind. And from your very thin vantage point, you can see that there, it looks like there's another door on the far side of this room, of this red wood, but not carved in symbols. Other than that, you see that there are white objects that are on the floor, and they're all, like, different sizes and shapes.
Okay. I'll tell everybody to be careful with the floor, because there seems to be some white shit on it. I don't know. Seagulls down here?
A flock of seagulls, even.
All right.
All right. Sothris will head towards the door, then just kind of look back, and we're pressing forward, yes?
I'll take be right rear. Behind you.
All right. So he'll slip through.
Okay. Go ahead and roll me a constitution saving throw, please.
Yeah.
Sure. Ooh, damn, these dice are on fire. 22.
Okay. As you pass, like, over the threshold of this place, just this absolute chill runs through your whole body. You didn't think you could get colder down here, but that's just not true. And then as you cross over that borderline and step onto the far side of the room, suddenly it's gone. And, like, this oppressive feeling, this weight is gone. And you actually feel quite comfortable in this space. The temperature is nice.
It's 67 degrees.
It's a perfect, nice. Yeah. And as you step into this room here, you see, again, big, big vaulted room here. You see now that you have the full view of the room, there is a door on your left, and there is a door on your right, and then there is a large staircase that kind of carves up on both sides, leading to, and there is a set of double doors at the top, so kind of on that balcony level. And then you see suspended from the ceiling are these large brass hooks. And you see, again, these white objects that are scattered all over the ground, and you can tell that they are bones, but very, very large bones.
Interesting.
And then on the floor, engraved, like, kind of laid into the floor, is, again, this reddish kind of coppery brass, and there's this very, very large symbol that's laid out in the center of this room.
Does the symbol mean anything to Sothris?
Go ahead and give me an arcana check.
Sure. Dirty 20.
Okay. You're looking at it. It's clearly some kind of arcane symbol, but you're, like, racking through your brain. You don't think you've ever seen one specifically like this. But it's also okay. Not uncommon for powerful wizards or spellcasters to have a personal mark that looks, it's almost like a signature. It looks like that might be what this is.
All right, so he'll turn back around and say toward the door, there's some sort of barrier that the coldness, the wrongness of this place, I think you might be able to shrug it off coming through the doorway, but be careful.
Hmm. Do we get advantage on fucking constitution checks since now we know?
Sure.
You see it coming.
You can go ahead and give me advantage on this check.
Oh, goodness.
Since you're stealing your hearts.
Aw.
Kara bolts strongly forth.
Bolts strongly forth.
Mm-hmm. I'm bolting all over the place. Bolt, bolt, bolt.
Dirty 20.
Okay.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Oh. Okay.
Everyone's stepping through. Gotta make this check.
Oh, natural 20.
Oh, nice. Dang.
I got an 18.
Okay. All right, Adele.
I got an 21.
Oh, okay. Damn. So a very similar thing happens to all of you. Like, that, there's that moment of, like, awfulness, like, right as you hit that barrier line. And then when you step into this room, it all evaporates, and you actually all feel quite comfortable. In this very large room.
As soon as the feeling dissipates, I kind of, like, do my version of crossing myself. Like, yeah. Thank goodness, thank you for letting me survive that.
Yeah, it's weird. That same feeling, too, you had of, like, being trapped and being underground, that pressure just goes away from you as you step into the space.
Somehow I find that somewhat more disturbing.
Yeah.
Well, which way shall we go?
Left, right. Well, there's two doors and then a staircase that lead up to a middle
set of big double doors.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
And then, and again, like, you have to pick your way over these very, very large bones. Like, you see a hip bone probably about the size of, like, a sedan.
Yikes.
Like,
are the doors all closed?
Yes, the doors are all closed.
Well, that's better,
I guess. You guys feel like the big doors at the top, probably?
Sure. Any door seems all as right. good as any.
Yeah.
I just feel like the big ones are usually, like,
mm-hmm. Let's do it.
What? The big bosky rooms?
That's what I'm thinking.
Mayhaps. Yeah, Kara starts right, striding over to the big double doors up top.
Okay. They loom up ahead of you.
Sathras will follow
her. Kara attempts to open the door.
All right, I would like everybody to go ahead and roll initiative.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, snap!
Fuck, man. I rolled a 1 the first time and a 2 the second time.
No!
Ooh.
12!
5!
Oh, I rolled...
Thank God for this.
11.
Okay. 24.
Ooh!
Speedy boy.
It's your boy.
This,
I have a few things to roll for. Don't
Tight.
Worry about it.
I'm scared.
Yes.
She's smiling too much.
You know what? Actually, as you step through the doors, these black arrows come flying at you immediately, like as if somebody was poised for you to open these doors here. And so, Kara, like, you like only have just a moment to open the doors before these arrows start peppering towards you. And you can tell that this chamber is probably the largest in this place here. And you see forms that are hidden behind pillars and in the shadows here. And I think that's where we're going to call it for our break before we dive into what's happening here. So thank you, everyone, so much. This is part 1 of the episode. So let's go ahead and we're going to do a sign off just for posterity recording. So thank you, everybody, for listening to part 1 of this episode. I cannot wait for part 2. I have been your Dungeon Master, Celeste Konowich.
I have been your... Moon Elven Warlock Arnadel Athil, played by Brittany.
I've been your Tiefling Divine Soul Sorceress, Farrah Valen.
I was your human monk, Sayanor, getting increasingly claustrophobic.
Hip!
And I'm Sage, and I play your barbarian, Kara Brynhilda, who's ready to smash some.
Hulk smash!
Let's go.
Very nice. And I was Dan. I am your elven bladesinger wizard.
All right. Well, folks, we are going to throw up a Be Right Back screen, and we'll see you in 10. So don't go anywhere for the thrilling conclusion. All right.
Bye, everyone.
We've come to the end of part 1 of our amazing 2-part episode featuring Dan Dillon. A huge thanks to him, of course, for joining us in Kara's emotional roller coaster. If you want to check him out, follow him on Twitter at Dan_Dillon_1. And if you haven't already, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Venture Maidens. We also have a booming Discord and a badass Patreon. And now, before I sign off, I am dying to know if any of you have seen the Acquisitions Incorporated employee section of Elderwood Academy. I love Ack Inc., so I am gaga for all of their Ack Inc.-themed merch! Seriously, that dice tower is downright ridiculous. Aside from the amazing Ack Inc.-themed merch that Elderwood Academy makes, they also have dice trays, dice boxes, deck boxes, dice towers, dice, and so much more. All of their products are handmade by incredible artisans that are made to look like spellbooks, scroll cases, codexes, and other awesome fantasy gear that we love. And with the holidays coming up, these would make amazing gifts. Shout out to my boo, you know. Just get to thinking about Christmas and my birthday. But anyway, head on over to elderwoodacademy.com/don't split to see their wonderful handiwork. All right, so until 2 weeks from now, I will see you then, folks. Venture away.